You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
First up, here's something I never thought I'd be saying. The electron has been split into two particles.
Surely not.
Okay, well, it's not quite that simple. But as reported in Nature on April the 18th, physicists have broken a single electron inside a sample of strontium cuprate into two quasi-particles, a spinon, and making its first ever appearance in the lab, an orbiton. Earlier, I spoke with team member Jerome Vandenbrink, a physicist at the Institute for Theoretical Solid-State Physics in Dresden, Germany, who explained the special conditions needed to split this otherwise elementary particle.
The weird thing is that if you have an electron, a free electron, and it's an elementary particle, which you cannot split into two different particles. An atomic nucleus, right, can be split into protons and neutrons or whatever you have, but the electron cannot when it's just sitting there out by itself. However, if you have electrons inside solids, this changes or can change, and this is what we've shown. It is really true that an electron is sitting in this copper oxide material, which has a special property that electrons inside it can only move in one direction. So it's a one-dimensional system. So now these electrons sitting inside the solid and only being able to move in either forward or backward, we can excite them. And if we do, what we observe is that the electron that's excited starts propagating in the lattice, but it's, in doing so, it splits up into two separate particles. And these two particles actually have different velocities. So you can think of one particle moving with a high speed and the other particle with a lower speed, or even in the opposite direction.
The electron is able to be split into two quasi-particles when inside a solid because, according to quantum mechanics, in this situation, the electron takes on wave-like characteristics.
Well, you can think of the electron as a particle sitting somewhere in your system, but you can also think about it as a wave. So then if this electron is excited, locally you create a wave, so to say. And this wave starts now propagating in your one-dimensional channel, as it were. And when it starts propagating, it separates in two separate waves, one carrying the magnetic characteristic of the electron and the other one carrying the what's called orbital moment of the electron.
The team split the electron by firing a high-energy beam of X-ray photons at it. The beam excited the electron into a higher atomic energy level, or orbital. The excited electron then split into two quasi-particles, a spinon, carrying its magnetic spin property, and an orbiton, carrying its orbital location. Team member Christoph Wohlfeldt, also at the Institute for Theoretical Solid-State Physics in Dresden, explains how it was possible to infer that the spinon and orbiton had been created, and had sped off in opposite directions, by looking at the energy loss of the photons in the X-ray beam as the beam rebounded off the electron.
The way how we did it was that firstly experimented it just the spectrum of energy loss of these photons lost in the system. And this spectrum has some particular characteristics, has some particular shape. So that was sort of like, okay, so we calculated several spectra based on several models, and only the one which assumed that this separation of spin and orbital happened could reproduce this experimental spectrum.
Physicists have actually known since the 1980s that it should be possible to split the electron into three particles, the spinon, the orbiton, and also the holon carrying the electron's charge. Indeed, 15 years ago, experimenters split the electron into the spinon and holon. But so far, nobody has managed to create the spinon, orbiton, and holon at the same time. But Jeroen Vandenbrink says that is the next challenge.
The real advantages in the field have become possible by the instrumentation that's become more and more precise all the time. So I think you will need another, say, order of magnitude improvement of your energy resolution to see more sophisticated three-particle processes as a separation spin charge and orbital. It's an obvious next thing to try.
Thank you to Jeroen Vandenbrink there, and also to Christoph Wolfelt. For links to the paper and to an article about how the Orbiton could help to explain a decades-long mystery about the origin of high-temperature superconductivity and also aid in the quest to build a quantum computer, visit the FQXI website, www.fqxi.org/community.